seated. Oh my. Well, after all those beautiful songs, I don't know if we need to even go to the Word. I was just like, yeah, and that was in the teaching, and that was in the teaching, and that one was in the teaching. I went, okay, well, that's good. Because this morning, I wanted to just talk briefly about Abraham and how he had a lifetime of trust. So open your Bible, please, to Romans chapter 4. Romans 4 is a great section about Abraham. And, you know, we could spend like 7 hours talking about Abraham, so we're going to cram it all in about a half an hour, okay? But in verse 1, it says, "What then? Are we saying about Abraham the patriarch that he obtained justification by the flesh?" And I'm reading from the Aramaic translation. "For if Abraham was justified by works, he had a reason for boasting, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed in God, and it was counted to him for justification." Now go down to verse 11. It says, "For he received circumcision as a sign and a seal of the uprightness of his faith that was in uncircumcision, so that he would become the father of all those who believe from the uncircumcision, that it would be counted to them for uprightness or righteousness also. And the father to the circumcision, not to those who are from the circumcision only, but also to those who follow in the footsteps of the faith of the uncircumcision of our father Abraham." So what we're going to see today is that Abraham was a father to Israel, to the circumcision. But God didn't call him when he was already circumcised. He called him when he was uncircumcised. And that's the reason why he can also be a father to us too. It says, it calls him the father of all those who believe. Are you guys all believers? Yeah, okay. So Abraham is our father too. And now I want to go to Acts chapter 7 and just show you when it was that God called Abraham and how he counted this righteousness to him. He counted it to him. It wasn't by his own works. Believing is not work. And if we could just get that in our minds today, just think about what it is, what believing is. If we follow the pattern of Abraham, then we'll stop beating ourselves up about how I don't believe, I didn't believe for this, I didn't get this promise, right? Stop. And just go, hey, if Abraham can do it, so can I. Look at Acts chapter 7. In verse 2, this is when Stephen is telling the whole history of Israel. And he starts out with about Abraham. And he said, "Men, our brothers and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he came to live in Haran. And he said to him, 'Depart from your country and from among your kinsmen, and go to the country that I will show you.' And then Abraham left the land of the Chaldeans and came and lived in Haran. And from there, after his father had died, God moved him into this land in which you live today." All right. God gave him this promise and a direction. And he said, "Depart from your country." Now, where Abraham was living was Ur of the Chaldees. It's Babylonia, what we know as Iraq today. And in that country, it was completely overrun with idolatry. And Abraham's family even was worshiping idols. And so God just, I kind of picture it like he whispered to him and just said, "Hey, Abraham, can you hear me? I got something to tell you. If you follow me, I'm going to show you, I'm going to lead you into a country." Now, Does it say he knew what country that he was going to go to? No. In fact, it just basically, God told Abraham, start walking. So he goes, okay, I'll start walking. And, okay, now you got to go over to Genesis. This started a lifetime of trust in how Abraham can be the father of all who believe is because he just started walking. Look at Genesis chapter 11. God told him that he would show him the land. And now he must have convinced his father, who now you have to remember, his father's name is Terah. His father was an idolater. And he never, throughout his whole life, actually gave up his idols. But he did believe enough to follow Abraham to Haran. Okay, so chapter 11, verse 31, it says, and Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son. So that's, Lot is Abram's nephew. And Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son's Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. Now, Haran, if you go from Babylonia, I'll pretend I'm the map here, okay? And here's Babylonia over here. And so Abraham leaves Babylonia. I'm better put it over here because you're looking at me. Okay, it's east. Babylonia is over here. So Abraham walks, and they walk together, and they're walking, and they're walking, and they go up into Syria, which is above the land of Canaan. It's where Damascus is right now. And they find this city, and it's called Haran. And Terah goes, well, I think I want to stay here. You know why? Because they were worshiping the same god that they were worshiping in Babylonia. There's the moon god that had this whole big cult in the city of Haran. And he goes, okay, I'm done. I'm staying here. And so Abram stayed with him for 5 years. It says here in verse 32, and the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. And now you got to go on to chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, it says, and the Lord had said, he'd already talked to Abram, I keep wanting to call it Abraham, but his name still right now is Abram. The Lord had said unto Abram, when he was in Ur of the Chaldees, right? Now he says it to him again. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee. And in thee, this is a promise, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Are we part of all the families of the earth? Yes. So we are blessed because of what we're reading about now that Abram did. So verse 4 says, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. That's probably a really good summary right there about what believing has to do with. In Romans, it talks about how faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, right? The word hearing in Aramaic, it's hearing of the ear is the literal phrase there. Faith cometh by hearing of the ear. And what that means is obeying or obedience. If you hear with your ear and you really hear with your ear, then you are going to obey. And in that obedience, faith comes. So again, he still didn't know what country he was going to. He just knew that he needed to keep walking. And so, step by step by step by step by step, he ended up going into the land of Canaan. And so now Lot goes with him, right? And it says, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Okay, so that means that when he got the first promise, he was 70 years old. Right, we're going to have to keep track of how old Abram is here. Now it's 5 more years, and he spent that time being with his father, taking care of his father, and then when his father died, he felt released to go. He could continue to go. So now this time, Lot goes with him, but the rest of the family stays in Haran. All right? Hold your finger here and just go over to Hebrews chapter 11. If you want to read a really great book, there's a book by E.W. Bollinger that's called The Great Cloud of Witnesses, and it's all about this chapter in Hebrews of the great witnesses that we have and, you know, how you can see their faith in their lives. Chapter 11 and verse 8, it says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed, and he went out," what? "Not knowing whither he went." That's the thing about trust and why I'm calling this a lifetime of trust. Because if you knew where you were walking to, you might not even go there. But if you walk it step by step, holding on to God's hand like a little child, you know, where it's just trusting. My granddaughter Elizabeth is back there, and she's learning how to hold onto your hand and walk. And at first, she's just like, she's walking around and she doesn't know where she's going. And then all of a sudden she'll just like reach up her arms, and then you take her hand and guide her. And she's so happy to just like go along with you. Oh yeah, let's go eat. Oh yeah, let's go play. Oh yeah, let's go out in the backyard. There's trust there because of reaching out her hand, you know, to just say, "I don't know where I'm going." Does she know where she's going? No. And that's the same thing with us, with our Heavenly Father, is a lot of times we don't know where we're going. And it's a little scary, you know, when we're adults and trying to understand what's the long view, you know, where's the goal, what country are we going to? I mean, I have a zillion questions here, Father. And he's going, "Just take my hand, just walk with me. I'll show you the way." So that's what Abraham did, was he just went. Okay, back to Genesis 12. This was the first promise that God gave to him, that all the families of the earth were going to be blessed in Abram. And there's a series of things that Abram has happened to him. And we're just going to read the very beginning there. We were after verse 4, so now we're going to read verse 5. "And Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth." Okay, we're going. "Into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram, and he said, 'Unto thy seed will I give this land.' And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him." And then it mentions this name of this place. "And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east." If you remember when we taught about Joshua, those were the Battle of Ai. This is the same place where later on Moses takes the children of Israel to Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, and he gives them the law. And half of Israel's on one side of the mountain and half of Israel is on the other side of the mountain, and they speak the blessings and cursings back and forth of the law. This became a very sacred place. Now, what Abram did here, because this area of Bethel was all a very, very sacred place for the Canaanites. And there was a big giant pillar there that they were worshiping. So right smack dab in the middle of the idolatry of the Canaanites, he builds an altar to the Most High God and sets it there, right? And then God had told him, you know, walk through the land. I'm going to show you the land, right? So that's what he does after that. Verse 9, and Abram journeyed going on still toward the south. So he walks from the north part of the land of Canaan all the way to the south, and then he comes back. Because that's what God told him to do, right? Sometimes the things that God tells us to do not make a lot of sense. Like, just start walking, okay? Where am I going? I'll show you. And then when you start walking, then he says, keep walking and go all the way down here. Now, Abraham went all the way to where the desert was. Going, is this it? You got to read between the lines a little bit and go, well, what about the questions he would have? What about the things he would be thinking about? Like, okay, I'm here. Now what? So God teaches him this series of lessons. And we don't have time to read them all, but first he goes down into Egypt. And God says, no, it's not going to be in Egypt. There's not going to be a big Pharaoh thing. And it's not going to be anywhere except right here in this land. And you are not going to have a place in it until much, much later. He tells him that it's going to be 400 years after this where the children of Israel will finally come back into the land. The second lesson that he teaches him at the beginning of chapter 13 is that he has to separate from Lot. Because remember, he took all his family with him, right? And Lot and the sheep herders from Lot and Abraham's sheep herders, they start fighting together because they have so much stuff, right? But what's written underneath the line there is that Lot didn't really trust that God was leading Abram. And he saw the plain of Jordan, how lush and beautiful it was and how there were cities there. And he was tired of living in tents, right? So he said, okay, I get to choose. And he chooses the plain of Jordan, where there's all this fertility, it's very lush, but there's also the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah there. And so Lot turns and goes over in that direction, but Abraham stays put. He goes, okay, well, it's kind of barren here, and there's a lot of mountains, and I'm still living in a tent. But here we go. I'm going to just do what you want me to do, God. Okay, so now look at Genesis 13, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Oop, he's saying seed again, right? Does Abram have any children up till now? No. Okay. But he's talking about how he's going to have this seed and all these families are going to be blessed. And there's no child. Okay. Verse 16, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron. And he built there an altar to the Lord. Again, it's like putting a place where you could worship God in the midst of all of this idolatry. So it's kind of interesting about this thing about I will make thy seed as dust of the earth. Because what I see is there's a series of things that God showed Abram that he could hang his hat on, that he could hold on to. I was thinking about the dust of the earth, okay? Every time he saw sand and dust in his tent, and he looked outside the tent, and he's going, okay, we got to clean up these dust bunnies again. What, dust, think about dust. It's everywhere. There's dust everywhere if you live in a tent, right? There's dirt on the floor. There's dirt on your clothes. There's dirt everywhere. And so everywhere he looked in his dwelling place and as he walked out of his tent, he was supposed to remember, your seed is going to be like that. So it gave him a visual thing to hold on to. And I believe that this is how God teaches us in a lifetime of trust. In a moment, we get born again. God counts righteousness to us. Then it becomes this lifetime of learning to walk by that trust, to listen to God, to hear his still small voice, to help us along the way, right? To learn how to love, to learn how to forgive, to learn about everything there is about God. So God teaches us in this same way where he gives us a picture and it helps. It strengthens our faith, like Warren was talking about, is that your trust, I think is the better word, your confidence, your trust increases because you've seen God come through over and over and over again. Okay, there's a whole other section right after that about how these kings come down and they attack Sodom and Gomorrah and they capture Lot and take him away captive. And so Abram goes, hey, wait a minute, that's my family. I'm going to stand up for them. And so he takes 318 men from his family and the people in his family, and they go chasing this whole army of kings, and they chase them all the way from the southern part of Canaan all the way to Damascus, and he rescues Lot and brings him back. Now, to me, that lesson was about, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's not by machine guns, you know, blowing everybody down. It's about God was behind him, and he said, that's my family. We're going to go get them. And so he went and he rescued Lot and he brought him back. And then the king of Sodom says, oh, look, you rescued us. This is great. Let me give you of all the spoil. And he goes, I'm not taking one penny from you. And that's the whole record of Melchizedek, where he brings tithes to Melchizedek, and Abram acknowledges the Most High God is the possessor of the heaven and the earth. You see how his trust is rising here? It's like, I'm not going to trust in my own power. I'm not going to trust in anything except the true God. All right, now look at Genesis 15. We're getting on to where it's Abram's about 80 years old now, okay? So after this battle and they get Lot back and they win all the things, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, for I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, God, by the way, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing that I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. He's going, it isn't about doubt here. It's about just asking God, you know, the senses look like this. And this is what you told me. They don't line up. So how do I get there? How do I see it come to pass? And that's true with lots of times promises in our lives where God promised healing, right? But it's a process. And I really believe that God teaches us what we need to know so that we can trust him more and grow up in that. So God says to him, verse 4, behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. Now, and you got to read verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And that word righteousness there is justification. He counted it to him for justification. Right at this point, what we first read in Romans, this is the place where it says, So shall thy seed be. And what happened to Abram was that God showed him the stars, and he showed him the whole story of redemption in the stars about who the Messiah was, how he was going to come, what he was going to do, and he said, That's going to be from your seed. That's the seed. He showed him like the picture of Virgo with the seed, with the branch, right? And the picture of Butes with the shepherd and said, That's the coming one. That's the one. And he's going to come from your seed. And so, again, this picture, right? Every time Abram came in the daytime, he looked at all the dust. Every time at nighttime, he walked outside and he saw the stars. Oh, yeah, the Messiah. He's coming from my seed. My seed. Doesn't matter what it looks like. It's going to be from my seed. And at this point, then also, not only does God count justification to him, but he makes a covenant with him and he puts him to sleep so that the covenant has nothing to do with what Abraham does. It's all about what God promised. This is also why in Galatians it talks about how the promise is not made of none effect. It's going to continue because this promise that God made to Abraham is still partially yet to be fulfilled about how he would have the land and all the nations of the earth would be blessed in him. But Abram was able to just really grab onto that picture. So don't you think that God will give us pictures like that? Well, he would encourage us and show us the things that we need to know so that we can hold on to it too. All right, it goes on. Abram has a son by his handmaid who's Ishmael, and you got to read that whole story. But Genesis 17, we're going to read the end of 16. Verse 15, And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. So now he's 86 years old, right? And he has a son. But that's not the seed. No. Okay, so this is what happens. Chapter 17. And when Abram was 99 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. God, how am I supposed to be perfect? Is it possible to be perfect? No, but it's possible to be blameless. It's possible to have that righteousness counted to you. Because of trust. That's why you know that it's not works. Because we don't deserve it, right? The picture of justification, the word picture from Aramaic is where here's the standard that God has. It's up here. And man is always trying by his own works to get up to it. And the law, all it did was showed him how impossible it was that to ever get there. That you couldn't be perfect, that you will never really be able to be righteous before God. But when you believe, then God counts it. Man believeth unto righteousness, right? You believe unto righteousness, and God lifts you up so that you can come into his presence without blame, and thus enter into a relationship with him. That's what Abraham had. He was called the friend of God. He was the first person who dared to have this kind of relationship with God that we take for granted every day. It's really amazing. Okay, so this whole section in chapter 17 is an expansion on the promise. Go down to verse 4. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. Okay, what God did was he added the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is the word, the letter Kaf, and he added it into Abram's name to make it Abraham. And that fifth letter of the alphabet stands for grace. And he said, no longer are you going to be called Abram, but you're going to be called Abraham, because that means a father of many, a father of a multitude. But that whole idea of grace is in there. So now, okay, he's got the dust he looks at, the stars he looks at. Now, every time somebody calls his name, he's going, oh yeah, grace, 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 grace. This is going to be grace. In verse 6, I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And then he ratifies the covenant again, and the whole thing about circumcision is that it's a seal of this promise that it was going to be through Sarah and the seed, the line would be from Abraham and Sarah and their child together. And so God sealed the covenant with circumcision. Now flip over to Genesis 18 verse 14. Because you have to read the whole story. I'm just really telling the highlights of it. But when Sarah finds out, yeah, it's going to be me. Because, you know, Sarah was 90 years old. And it was after the time of bearing of women. And Abraham's 99. And they're just sitting going, oh, well, I thought you promised me this. And here we are. Here we are. I don't know about that. And so she laughs when God sends two angels to tell her that this time next year you're going to have a child. And she just laughs and goes, yeah, okay. Verse 13, and the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? That reminds me of the song, with God all things are possible. This is the reply that Mary gave to the angel when God came and told her that she was going to have a child. She says, with God, all things are possible. There's nothing that's impossible. And it's literally, in the Greek word rhema is in there. It says, no word spoken is too difficult for God. No word spoken is too difficult for God. So if he spoke it, then it will come to pass. And that's what the angel is telling Abram. Is anything too hard for God? If God said it, if he said it, it will happen. There is nothing too hard for him to do. So now I have to challenge you to go on and read some more of the story of Abraham, because we can't go through there. But we'll end in Romans chapter 4 again. You can see, even on after Isaac is born, you can see in Abraham's life that he just continued to trust. It wasn't this one-time thing like, okay, I believed, now it's over. That happens when we are born again, where we believe unto righteousness, but that starts this lifetime adventure of growing and learning to love, to believe, to trust God. And it's a continual unfolding. I get so humbled sometimes because, you know, I've learned probably more Aramaic stuff in the last 4 months than I did for many, many years before. And I just get almost flabbergasted that there's just so much in this word to learn and to understand. And all we have to do is just be willing to learn it, to say, Father, what do you have to teach me today? I'm willing. I'm going to hold your hand. I'm going to walk with you. And I don't know where we're going. And I don't know what it's going to look like. Don't doubt. Don't fear. Only believe. Okay, just put aside those things about what does it look like and what I see with my five senses. And okay, I'm going to look at the promise about the dust. I'm going to look at the promise about the stars. I'm going to look at the promise about the Messiah coming, because we have that same promise, even though we're looking back on the whole thing that God already accomplished in Jesus Christ for us, right? But we also have the continued promise of being able to see him face to face and live forever with him, where there won't be any more tears and there won't be any more sorrow and there won't be any more disappointment of any kind. That's worth walking towards, folks. Okay, we got to finish reading. 17. Sorry, 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by what? Grace. To the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Because we walk by faith the exact same way that Abraham did, and so we can look and see his life and use that as a pattern, all right? So that's my challenge to you, is use it as a pattern to build your own trust and own lifetime adventure with God. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead. Abraham was, his body was dead, right? He calls those things which be not as though they were. It's not about what it looks like. It's about what God says, what he speaks. In the ESV, it says he calls into existence the things that do not exist. Go down to verse 20. Because he staggered not at looking at his own body, now dead, when he was 100 years old. And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He grew strong in faith. See? It's a process. So we need to encourage each other and to not be judgmental and just say, you know, not even against ourselves. Like, well, I just must not have been believing. Have you heard people say that? I must not have been believing. Yes, you are. You've been believing ever since the day you've been born again. Now, do you need to grow in believing? Yes. Do we all need to grow in believing? Yes. So let's not stagger at the promise of God, but just ask him to teach us the things that we need to know so that we can really see the promise come to pass. Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Remember when it was imputed to him for righteousness? He was 75 years old. He did not have a son until he was over 100. The son Isaac was not born until he was over 100. God called him when he was 70. He gave him a promise when he was 75. He had this whole thing that he went through, right? He had Ishmael when he's 86, and then it takes till he's 99. But in God's eyes, he was believing the entire time. And so let's look at each other like that, and let's walk out and ask God to help us to have that kind of trust, like a little child, and just hold on and say, Father, I'll go. And I'm so sorry if I make mistakes along the way, but I just want to hold onto your hand and walk with you for the rest of my life. God bless you.